Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for today's program, Angelina Diana, and it's my pleasure and my honor to be spending this hour with you. I certainly hope you can join us. We have a very interesting guest with us this hour. It is Dr. Karen Good, and she has written many books and is a very well-established author, but two that I think are very particular to this program are Raising Intuitive Children, A Guide to Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts, and also Kids Who Can See Ghosts, How to Guide Them Through Fear. If you are listening to this program and you have children and they have had experiences and you've really wondered how to help them, coach them, or determine their abilities or gifts, and really how to put them in a place so that they're nurtured rather than stymied, this is the program for you. So I would really love it if you can join us and be a part of the program. Before we actually join Dr. Karen Good, I'm going to be talking a little bit about what's going on with the foundation. And our number here, if you want to get ready to call to ask questions for Dr. Good, is 888-627-6008. You can also join us on the web, going to foreverfamilyfoundation.org if you want to see about the different events. We are a not-for-profit. And any way that you can help us to continue with the program, such as the radio show and the conference that I'll be talking about in a moment, would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like to join me on Facebook, facebook.com/AngelinaDiana. If you have any questions you want to ask through Facebook regarding this program, if you have a child that's intuitive, do you have questions about does your child see ghosts? Would love you to post them there, and I would love to represent you and ask them live to our wonderful guest this hour. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with the foundation, and it's really an amazing thing for me, a beautiful thing, and I'm not surprised that the foundation is entering its 10th year, and it has grown wonderfully, and 90% of it is because of your interest and your support. So the fact that you support us and keep the concept and idea that our loved ones live, that they go on after they die, that we have an opportunity to connect to that, and that we can also include science in that to try to bring some more knowledge and enlightenment to that area. You're a part of that, and we love bringing different programs to you throughout the year. But our big conference is coming up this year. It's the 8th conference in our 10th year, and it is really, truly a spectacular one, I must say. The Afterlife Conference is really a convergence of noted organizations dedicated to the investigation of life beyond physical life. It's from November 5th to November 11th. You can decide within that time range of the many offerings that you'd like to be a part of. Really, it's really an opportunity for you to join a wonderful list of esteemed presenters. Dr. Jim Tucker, who is representing the Division of Perceptual Studies at the University of Virginia, Lloyd Auerbach, who's our esteemed president, and also Going to be giving a wonderful presentation. I'll give you more details on that shortly. Sally Rheinfeather, she's going to be representing the Rhine Research Center. The list goes on and on and on. It will be held in North Carolina this year at the Marriott at Research Triangle Park. It's really, there's great room rates if you mention the Forever Family Foundation. There's really just so much to cover. I really hope you can go to the Forever Family Foundation website and check it out. It could kick off for you the first day on November 6th at a day at the Rhine Research Center. If you've ever been interested at what the Rhine Research Center has done, from extrasensory perception to telepathy, clairvoyance, precognition. The history dates back to 1927. There's a tour of the facility. There's PSI games. It's really a wonderful day to really kick things off. And that evening, Signs of Life Radio will be kicking off too in that area, and you can be a part of the program there. The next day on Friday, November 7th, is, Namaste Day or Namaste, which is really said the same way. It's really wonderful. There's an exhibitor hall. It's actually free to attendees, where you can share a wonderful day of enlightenment, mingle with people connected to the foundation. There's lots of information on the website. For example, at 12, there'll be a luncheon where you can listen to our special guest, Janet Mayer. She's written a book called Spirits, They Are Present. She will be probably speaking about her languages, which is a very fascinating story. If you've ever heard her story, you'll want to even hear it again because it's that fascinating. And that evening at 7 p.m., we will have a presentation from certified medium Rebecca Ann LeCicero. It is going to be a wonderful dinner plus spirit communication. It's not to be missed. And then the weekend kicks off on the 8th and the 9th with all the wonderful scientists, speakers, and there's even a fundraiser that night that I want to highlight. There's so much to cover. I can't cover it all. But really, that evening, I believe it's certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson will be doing spirit communication that day. And then in the evening from 7 p.m. till 10, you can enjoy a wonderful dinner where a medium will sit at your table and give each person a reading. This is a major fundraiser for the foundation. If you could be a part of that, that would be fabulous. So I can go on and on and on. There's just so much going on that I think it's best if you go to the website and check it out at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We really do appreciate your support and the years that you have contributed to make the foundation a wonderful resource for those that are curious, those that might be grieving, and those that might be searching for a scientific answer of what happens to us after we die. Well, what we're going to do now is take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to have a very sparkling and interesting conversation with Dr. Karen Good. So please join us, and we'll be back shortly. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Perhaps you have heard that there is scientific evidence of an afterlife, but you are confused. Plan to attend a landmark convention in Durham, North Carolina, November 8th and 9th, and let's clear up that confusion. Let an esteemed group of scientists from prestigious universities and institutions show you the way. This will be a gathering of the top organizations that have been researching afterlife evidence for decades, all coming together for the first time. Whether you want to learn about reincarnation, mediumship, apparitions, deathbed visions, near-death experiences, or phone calls from the dead, this is the place to be. The weekend will also include demonstrations of spirit communication by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Click on the events page at our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, to learn more about the conference weekend and the many additional events before and after the conference. Or call 631-425-7707 for more information. Have you lost a loved one and feel that they are gone forever? Do you sometimes wonder how people can continue meaningful lives after devastating grief takes hold? Come join Forever Family Foundation in Connecticut on July 25th through the 27th as they host a special, all-inclusive weekend of sharing, learning, exploring, and discovering. This weekend will not only deal with the challenges of loss and grief, but professional facilitators and mediums will also focus on ways we can all communicate with deceased loved ones and maintain our relationship with them. Attendees will be experiencing grief recovery techniques, spirit communication by certified mediums, meditations, psychic development exercises, and will also learn about some of the scientific evidence that we survive physical death. The weekend will feature small workshops for a relaxed and hands-on experience. Bereaved parents can also register for a separate program starting on the evening of July 24th through the 25th. For more information, visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org, 631-425-7707. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this hour, Angelina Diana, and we'd really love you to be a part of this program. Do you have questions about your intuitive child? Do you have questions about maybe your child who might have seen a ghost? How do you nurture that, or what questions do you have about that? This is the guest for you. Give us a call at 888-627-6008. We're going to be speaking shortly with Dr. Karen Good, and she's an author of Raising Intuitive Children, Guide to Your Children and Knowing Their Trust, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. She's a licensed counselor, a psychotherapist in Fort Worth, Texas. She's written many books. Her years in psychotherapy practice has served dozens of people that are considered to be intuitives. I'd like to welcome Dr. Karen Good to the program. Good evening, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and I'm so glad that you can join us in this hour. And I, again, want to encourage people to give us a call at 888-627-6008. Before we actually get to a few questions that I have already on Facebook, and by the way, if you want to join me on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com/AngelinaDiana. I really want to give our listeners a short background on how is it that someone with your knowledge and your experience and really your education could go from being a psychotherapist to move to the motivation to help parents and children who are intuitives?
Good question. Most of us, like me, and I can speak for about five or six other women that I know in the field of psychotherapy, but we have had personal experiences ourselves.
Okay.
There was an incident when I was a child when I used to see a Catholic saint. I was a member of a Catholic community and church and grew up with that education. And I never really knew who I saw until I was in college, coming home from college, and the Catholic newspaper was sitting on my mother's kitchen cabinet. And I saw the picture of a man right there, a priest, an Italian priest, and he had died, and that was the person that I saw. In fact, it so stunned me that I said to my mother, would you look at that? That's Padre Pio. That's who I used to see. And apparently, he could bilocate. He appeared in the sky to flyers during World War II to help protect that area where he lived in Italy. So that experience as a child, which I thought was very normal, turns out as an adult to not be so normal, but people hear about it. So that got me interested, and I have been ever since.
That's beautiful. And when did you start delving into going from your own personal experiences and maybe seeing some of these trends when you were treating patients? I'm sure, I mean, did you go right into clients and patients who have had these experiences, or did it kind of show itself through your work as you were help treating people?
Yeah, when I was working in counseling, I would get the kinds of moms and kids questions that were pretty normal, but as you work over time, you work in the special education classroom with intuitive children here and there. They speak with you. You get stories. And that did pique my interest enough that I actually started writing down some of the incidents. And then with permission with the families, you know, I started gathering stories. And I guess over time I just decided to do the book because it was still a hot topic. And it was still, let's not talk about this topic. Or I'm afraid my child's going to go to school and talk about this. How am I supposed to handle that? Mm. So even with people who accept it in their own family, how do we talk about it socially? They were afraid, you know, that their kid would say something wrong. So it just seemed appropriate to get these books done and to make intuitive intelligence and intuition in itself something that can be spoken about without being a woo-woo kind of topic. Mm-hmm. And ghosts themselves, if kids see grandma, I don't know how to explain that to a parent, except to ask them to show their child a real picture of the grandmother who died that's talking to their toddler or their five-year-old and, you know, deal with it that way in a family. So these occurrences happen. How are we going to accept them? How are we going to bring it out of the closet?
You know? Right. All right, we're speaking with Dr. Karen Good. You can give us a call at 888-627-6008, Signs of Life Radio. I'm your host, Angelina Diana. We have our first question. It is coming to us via Facebook, and we have Johanna Tessman. She states that her daughter is 3.5, a very young 3.5, and has always seemed to have been able to see people. She would say things like, Mommy, that lady over there is waiting for the bus, and she says she misses her son. But when we're in the Walmart parking lot and there's no one there or anyone near, she, as a mom, doesn't know how to respond to her child. So there's a couple of things happening there. In your opinion, what do you think the daughter is seeing, and how do you feel the mother should respond to the daughter at such a young age, at 3.5?
Yeah, good question. Between the ages of 2 and 6, the child's brain is hugely full of many nervous synaptic connections, like 125% more. So
wow.
Their ability to be strongly intuitive, that phase of their life is intuitive, a feeling mm-hmm. sense. So do they see somebody standing there waiting for the bus? They could. I don't debate that, but the response that I would have is just like any child who sees and who has an imaginary friend that they take to bed or that comes to the table and has breakfast with them in the morning. I would say, you know, what does she look like, dear? I would carry on a conversation. That's my curiosity. What is, you know, why do you think she's waiting, and who is she waiting for, and what does she look like? I get the particulars. I get the, you know, I just want to know this. Is the child just seeing an event, or is the child seeing it so clearly that they can describe it? Because passing kind of figures, like a woman standing at the bus, might be an imprint pattern of somebody there, might be a real ghost. We don't know these things tangibly, but I carry on a conversation, find out what's going on in the child's mind. So I ask parents to listen. I ask them to find out more and make it a game. Why not? Should we say hi or let her be by herself?
So you engage the child to find out more, but you make it feel like a conversation to them so they don't feel alarmed or feel like there's something wrong.
That's right. And even if Mama says, you know, well, I can't see her, tell me more. Or what is she doing? I'm not sure where she is. Point her out to me. That kind of thing. Obviously, it's Mom may not see what the child sees, but if it's in the child's world, as a mom, I simply like to know more. So that's how I handled it when my child had a very vivid imagination as a young one.
Do you feel you've formed some of your opinions on what to do from working through your own child? Or did you have some of this information before she ended up seeing things or making mention that she could see energy?
Most of the work that I ended up putting into the book and devising in terms of just talking with children mostly came from other parents' reactions. Unless a parent is very open-minded and had similar experiences when they were children, my personal experience with those that I've dealt with was that they didn't know how to handle it. And sometimes it was because they really didn't know, and sometimes it was because, like I said, they were embarrassed. It might have been a social situation, might have happened in school. So, you know, what do we do is a big question, I think, in this field if parents aren't comfortable with the topic.
Yeah, it's very true. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Good. You can give us a call at 888-627-6008. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio. Dr. Karen Good is author of Raising Intuitive Children. It's a very fascinating book. Get it on Amazon. She's written many other books as well, too. I think we're going to go to the phone lines right now. We have Christina on line 2 calling us from Springfield, Massachusetts. Good evening, Christina. Are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you for calling the program. Do you have a question for Dr. Good?
Yes, I do. I have a 7-year-old now and a 4-year-old. And the 7-year-old, when he was 1 year old, my grandmother had passed away. We kind of jokingly at first said we have a feeling he sees her and talks to her because the day she passed, he actually pointed and he said, Nana, which we call her Nani. And he was just kind of pointed into space. And then the day of her funeral, he kept running over to the wall where we were and just kind of kept looking up, putting his hands out, and kept calling for her. So, you know, we kind of were wondering whether he's seen her or not. And then when he was 3, his brother, I actually had a stillbirth. And he started to run around and say he was playing with Jacob. And once in a while, my 4-year-old would actually do it and say he's playing with his brother, Jacob. So I kind of somewhat push for it and, you know, ask what are you playing? What does he look like? Different things like that. And they kind of just get quiet and don't really answer. So my question is, you know, I haven't had him say anything about any stranger, but is it mostly could family come through just through a child?
Doctor?
Could you ask that question again? I lost the very end of your sentence in the last sentence.
Oh, sorry.
What can come through a child?
I'm kind of wondering if it's family that actually can come through to a child and then not necessarily have an intuitive child who sees, you know, just everybody, if it could just be family or if it's just kind of something that we just push and hope that it is.
So, Doctor, do you see that mostly in your practice that most moms and their children, they see family members than perhaps just a random ghost?
Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. I think the bonds of love really do extend beyond time, and the majority of cases like that that are reported in the work that I did and the research that I saw are family members. In fact, what you were saying about your one-year-old happened with my grandson. I happened to be putting him to bed one evening and into his crib, and his eyes just glowed, and he grinned, and he pointed to a corner of the ceiling, and he said, Popo. And Popo is Chinese for grandmother, his grand-stepfather's mother, who had been very close to his mother. And so, you know, the fact said that, and he knew that, I was like, how can I deny that? So, yes, I do believe that family members come to check on their loved ones and let them know that we're all well. And in my world, it's not uncommon. It's more the rule than perchance.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Christine. I hope that answered your question.
It did. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being part of the program. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Good. You can give us a call at 888-627-6008. If you're curious, do you have a child that's very intuitive? Have you had experiences with your children where they tend to sense spirit or energy around them? Karen is the person you want to speak to. She's written a beautiful and interesting book called Raising Intuitive Children, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. Karen, I'm very curious you know, you said this book really centers around, or some of the things you spoke about centers around experiences or reactions that parents have had with their children. I'm curious from your viewpoint, do you notice that there's a certain parenting style that brings out a child's gifts naturally? And was there a certain kind of parent that tends to have a child feel free about sharing their gifts? I hope I made that question clear.
Well, I think I could answer it in two ways. There are some people in my studies that who had a parent or older relative that were intuitive. So they felt that intuition ran in their family, being psychic ran in their family. But then when we get to seeing ghosts, you know, I don't think it runs in families per se, unless somebody was psychic or had an intuitive experience. I don't think there's one parenting style. I think that the ghosts appear or children see them, and it's kind of between the spirit and the child. So I'm kind of mixing the two books together here, but my point is that intuition seems to have a genetic precedence. But I think the apparition of relatives in the home is common to all of us. Whether a parent accepts it or not would be the question regarding kids who see ghosts and their ability to continue to see them after age 7. Because if they have these gifts, if they have these talents, and the parents are not supportive of it or don't listen, per se, then the kids kind of tune it out. They don't focus on it, right? Because they focus on what they get attention for, what they're listening to. And by age 6 or 7, the children's brain is pruned, and what they haven't used, that aspect of their consciousness kind of moves away, moves out of their focus when cognition sets in. Am I making sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's a very interesting thing to say, and it kind of leads to our next question. By the way, we're speaking with Dr. Karen Good, who's written many books, one of them being Raising Intuitive Children, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. There's a question here by a Facebooker, Lynn Morrison. She's asking questions regarding phobias and fears, which I'm assuming by what you say, kind of are established after the age of 7, because we kind of get indoctrinated into the physical world. She writes, my 4-year-old seems to suffer from anxiety and is afraid of everything. This feels young to me. She's afraid of things and doesn't even know much about anything in the physical world. For example, we would be flying in an airplane and she would feel, and as a child, she didn't feel any fear, but she felt very nervous, as did I. She said in her late 20s, she became more psychic intuitive, but had the same qualities that her daughter had at a young age. She's curious to know, because there was anxiety and phobias at a young age before she got indoctrinated into the physical world, does it mean that her child will become more mediumistic and psychic as her mother did?
There's no possible way I can correlate that.
Okay.
Because every time a 2-year-old or four, about every 2 years, there's a growth spurt in the brain, and so it's very normal for a 2-year-old to have a phobia, and sometimes it's very normal for a 4-year-old to have it. If it's consistent, however, and it proceeds over time, then that becomes a habit or a pattern, and can that become into mediumship later? I don't know. I don't know how to correlate that.
So then I made an assumption, and I misspoke, that you can have fears and phobia at a young age, as 2 or 3 years old. Is that true?
Yeah, and they're usually not persistent when it's a normal phobia and a child's walking along and sees a drain pipe or dirt on the floor and gets very upset about it. You know, that's like one of those passing phobias that's pretty normal for a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, and then they begin to outgrow it after age 5 or 6.
I see.
But I'm not sure how that would pertain to being a medium or being psychic.
I agree with you. I think maybe that this particular writer feels, for some reason, which I don't agree with being a medium myself, that a fear or a phobia can make you become mediumistic. I don't believe that at all. But that was her question. That brings another question into mind, too, as well, that... do you feel that there are some visions, because some people might ask this, that there are some visions that children might see that are actually connected to a fear or a phobia and they aren't spiritually focused? And if so, how do you make that distinction?
One of the things that I do write about is helping children feel safe around some of these things that are nightmares. And yes, I think kids feel things very differently than adults do, but unless they're intuitively a temperament-based feeler, you know, some of us are stronger and thinkers and, you know, some of us are better supporters. My point being this, I think that children get scared and I think they do feel things. And if the fear stays there long enough, then think about the stress factor that begins to conjure up images, okay? And so a scary neighbor, a big dog that barked at them that night, a scary movie, I think these things can become images in their mind if they are stressed out. And I think a normal parent could pretty much tell a difference because I think they see the anxiety and I think it grows over time. To me, the difference would be in this story, where a mom and a dad are putting their kindergartner to bed, and he stops in the middle of the hallway, and he turns white, and he starts shaking, and he points to the corner. And the dad says, "Get to bed, quit making this up." And the mom says, "Oh, my God, what do you see? You know, you're white." So there's two reactions to something he sees that frightens him. And after investigation, you know, it turned out to be a person in the neighborhood who had died, and the child had seen him on the street. And now that he had seen him now in spirit in his home. So
wow.
I think that's a difference, you know, between, I mean, that was scary, and it was familiar, but it's still scary. So the difference to me would be whether it's sudden, spontaneous, or whether it increases over time and makes the child even more frightened. Make sense?
It very much so. That makes it very clear, I think. And I think the thing, on a layman's point of view, the thing that really speaks to me is it's obviously very important in how you talk to your children. And in that word you said, keeping them safe, feeling safe, would probably also help a parent, you know, I keep my child safe and they're seeing something. So it's not based on a physical phobia that they have to outgrow. There's an ability or a gift here that that is connected to the child. And I think what we'll discuss after the next break that we're going to take shortly is how does a parent go from seeing this with their child to either enhancing it or making the child feel safe about their abilities or gifts in the physical world. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio. We'll return right back after this message.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
Perhaps you have heard that there is scientific evidence of an afterlife, but you are confused. Plan to attend a landmark convention in Durham, North Carolina, November 8th and 9th, and let's clear up that confusion. Let an esteemed group of scientists from prestigious universities and institutions show you the way. This will be a gathering of the top organizations that have been researching afterlife evidence for decades, all coming together for the first time. Whether you want to learn about reincarnation, mediumship, apparitions, deathbed visions, near-death experiences, or phone calls from the dead, this is the place to be. The weekend will also include demonstrations of spirit communication by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums. Click on the events page at our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, to learn more about the conference weekend and the many additional events before and after the conference. Or call 631-425-7707 for more information.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the program, Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation. You could find all the information on the foundation at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this evening, Angelina Diana, and we've been having a very intriguing and interesting conversation with Dr. Karen Good this evening, who has authored many books, two of which are Kids Who See Ghosts, How to Guide Them Through Fear, and Raising Intuitive Children, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. Welcome back to the program, Karen.
Thanks.
I appreciate you being here. We do have another statement and kind of a question from a Facebooker. And by the way, there's still time to call the program. I believe we have an open line at 888-627-6008 if you have a question for Dr. Good. And this question comes from Facebook. It's by her name is Christina First. And she says both of her boys, age 20 and 21, always say they see stuff in her house. They say there's a small boy and an older man. They tell me that it's the same person. It freaks me out. My youngest has been this way since he was very young. I was that way until I got scared senseless when I was 12, and I've completely shut it off. What are your feelings with your research and the things that you've seen in your experience when you hear a mom react that way?
Well, I can understand some people certainly shutting it off, and this kind of giftedness, this intuitive ability is always there. So we can shut it down, but I'm not sure it can be shut off, especially if both boys have it. So I would invite her to maybe open it up again and learn to just use this gift in gentle ways, because if there's this constant anxiety about being freaked out, I can understand that, but it's not going to go away because it's an inherent trait. It's your talent. It's your gift. And there's a part of our temperaments that just we can't turn our temperaments off. Like if somebody is a caregiver, you know, it's like they have to be a supportive caregiver. They have to, if somebody's going after wealth, you know, that's their achievement and it drives them. So there's part of an intuitive person that feels, and we can't turn our natural feelings off. So how do we deal with it? How do we not get freaked out? And how do we clear the house or ask the ghost to move on? I think there's lots of different ways we can handle it. And I hope, Christina, you're open to some of the possibilities here.
Do you have any basic suggestions for someone like her to slowly and gently open up and feel comfortable about that? And a second part to that question is, just because they might see their relatives, do you necessarily feel that they should be professional mediums?
I think a professional medium is kind of a professional personal choice based upon your ability to support others, influence others, help them. So in getting over being afraid of it or getting over being freaked out, since that talent's latent anyway, I would work with an intuitive coach to learn to read the feelings of the body just gently. We don't have to jump in, you know, to the pool of being psychic right away. Just start with the feelings of the body. talk to the fears and find out what it's really about. Because I think most people who look fear in the face, you know, it's horrible, scary, and ugly. But then when you stick your tongue out of it, it kind of goes away and there's nothing there. So the mind is extremely powerful. And it's a talent that if you have it, let's train it. You know, let's use it.
And do you feel even if they just understood it more, it might obviously make them feel less freaked out about it, and then they would just be able to balance how they use it in their own personal life? Isn't that one way to look at it? Because I often see, like, I often see people when they make statements like that, that they feel like it's an attack on them. Like, oh my God, there's a small boy in my house. But really, I don't know if you feel this way, but they're really energies around us all the time.
Yes, there are energies around us all the time. And most of us choose to go, you know, through life and not see a lot of them because mm-hmm. it's very distracting, particularly for kids in school trying to pay attention. But, you know, it is reality here that we deal with. So which realities we deal with, sometimes we have a choice and other times we have a talent for the opposite or the different. And how you embrace it is certainly only to make your life happier, easier, better.
Exactly. I have a general question for you. At what age do you think, you know, when children start showing their abilities, should they or how can they integrate it into their everyday life and feel normal or be able to interact with others on a daily basis?
That's a great question. I think in the book, Raising Intuitive Children, there was a discussion that I had, an interview that was in the book as a chapter with a very prominent psychiatrist. And she talked about her feelings as a teenager, her feelings of being oversensitive, feeling overwhelmed, feeling burdened, feeling too much empathy for people. So I think the answer to your question is to find out where feelings are overwhelming. Find out if a person is overburdened or a child is burdened. So I start with feelings. I start with understanding what a child might feel in the body. When children start elementary school, a parent might think, well, first, second, third grade, you know, they're in an intellectual setting now, not so much intuitive, but some of those children's gifts continue through school. So those conversations about how to talk about it have to happen then. When pubescence hits and the hormones change, children are wide open again, and they might start seeing more. So by the time a child is 11 or 12, that parent, I hope, really needs to have a conversation about if this opens up again, how are we going to, you know, do you want to use it? How do you want to handle the body when you feel overwhelmed? And literally have a plan, you know, like if there's a fire in your neighborhood, you need a fire escape plan, right? So if a child is overwhelmed by psychic feelings, you simply have a plan for that. It could be meditation. It could be exercise. It could be talking with somebody. I have a lot of kids who sketch, who write in diaries, who have a friend to talk to, a mentor, a peer. So there's lots of ways to deal with it, but you talk about it. You listen. You plan for it. And we don't judge it. You can't judge feelings. This intuitive person, that's the way they move through their world. It's the way we negotiate our environment, and we're sensitive to energy, and we feel it. So let's talk about it. Let's give it a color. Let's give it a name. Let's plan for it. That's what I do.
That's beautiful. And is there some advice that you can give parents who are on the fence as to whether they think their child is psychic or they are displaying this sensitivity to the world? Because some, you know, there are some parents that have different viewpoints on it. Maybe the father doesn't believe in this and the mother does. So in your experience, have you seen ways around it or ways to suggest to make that child's life easier when there's such a difference of an opinion with parents?
Yeah, I ask for acceptance from both parents. They don't have to like it. It may go against their values, but we have to get conversation going so that we're all on the same page. So the same page might be that the child gets a counselor. The same page might be that mom becomes the ear and the child goes only to mom because dad's busy or doesn't want to deal with that, or vice versa. The main thing is that there has to be communication and there has to be listening. Whether or not it's accepted is even fine, but the child needs to be heard, because if it's not heard, all those feelings kind of back up. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
There's lots of alternatives, There's peer groups like in Boulder. A lot of parents form peer groups for the kids so that their child has somebody else to talk to. Meetup groups have happened after raising intuitive children. Somebody might say, look, you know, here's a book. Let's read it together. So lots of ways to open minds, but acceptance is our key here and what we're looking for the child.
Beautiful way to put it, and it gives that balance, too, for that child so they have that safe space that you spoke about earlier.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
important. Very important.
Absolutely. I have a another Facebook question. She actually messaged me privately. That's very interesting to me. She asked the question, the question is, when I am with my child and they feel my emotions, they seem to be more intuitive of the people around them. When they are around their friends, they seem to shut down. I'm trying to determine whether my son is actually picking up on my sensitivities, or is he just shutting down because his friends aren't like him?
How old is the child, do we know?
Seven years old. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that.
At age seven, I think that in a peer group, the child will be the observer. So I don't think he's shutting down so much as maybe watching and observing and intuiting to see when it's safe, to see who a friend might be that he can share feelings with. And that's pretty normal for a seven-year-old.
Okay.
And then they find one good friend and like, oh, my God, we're best buddies. And then it changes. And next week, I got another good friend. And, you know, we're so close and I just love them. And then it's done. So I think first and second grade is the time when the intuition begins to tune out. Well, not tune out, turn down a little bit, because the forebrain develops, cognition sets in, the intellect develops. So there's okay. A different type of curiosity, and it goes right along with intuition. But if the child is primarily a feeler, they're going to feel things out first, quietly, and watch before making or taking any action. I think that answered the question. And so in the comfort
absolutely.
Level around mom, you know, of course, he'll be much more comfortable there.
I'm wondering if the mother is opening up more because she's around your intuitive child. Because
parents, yeah, could be.
You know, it's kind of curious, you know, that she feels it feels heightened there for her. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I'd say if they're the same temperament, they probably are extremely close energetically, and they both feel the bond. It's a very safe bond.
That makes sense. Very intriguing. We're speaking with Dr. Karen Good. There's still time to get one more call in, 888-627-6008 if you have a question. She has written many books, and you can go to Amazon.com to check them out. I also know that we will have a link on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org website if you'd like to order these books. In closing, with that thought of parents and their children and the idea that intuition can flow very easily and comfortably between mother and child, for example, have you seen examples where the males or the dads have opened up just as much? Because it always seems like all the questions we received tonight were from women. So what are your thoughts on male intuition with their children? I'm just curious about that.
I have seen it, and yes, it does exist, and I know that we always think of intuition, you know, as being a woman's thing, but
right.
The truth is, it's like a temperament-based genetic inheritance. If you think of genetics as being like you know, maybe 30% of who we are, and adaptation personality grows from that, then yeah, you know, it's not really gender-based. It really is temperament-based. And I've seen not as many dads that want to talk to somebody about it, but certainly more women who want to talk about it.
There we go. Well, unfortunately, our time is up. It's gone by way too fast. But I want to thank you so much, Dr. Karen Good, for your time, your energy, and also for the research that you've done and these books that you've written. I'm hoping that people will go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and amazon.com and they look up your books, especially the book Raising Intuitive Children, Guide Your Children to Know and Trust Their Gifts. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Angelita. Have a phenomenal conference. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye now. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. And I want to say, remember, your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Have a nice night, everyone.